Let us pray. Lord God, on this Pentecost Sunday, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would once again move among us, that you would open up our hearts, that you would open our minds and our lives to the power of your word. For we ask it in Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I always have this recurring dream that I will get up to preach, and because I keep my sermon on an iPad, I'll touch the button and nothing will happen. And there for a brief moment, I punched the button and my calendar came up. I thought that's going to be a pretty boring sermon, just to tell you all the things I'll be doing this week. And you all will probably leave thinking, he's pretty lazy, he doesn't do very much. Oh, well, today is Pentecost Sunday. That's a great day for charismatics. You probably wonder, what do the people who aren't charismatics do on this day? And I was wondering that this week. I went back and looked at some old sermons from when I wasn't a charismatic. And so what did we celebrate? You know, well, you have a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, so you got to say something about him. And so primarily his job is in the rest of the church is to help with evangelism and inspire other people and lead them to Christ, which, of course, the Spirit does, but does much more than that. And always remember, when you talk about the Spirit, do it like Jesus did. Refer to him as he.
Not
it. Amen. But this is Pentecost Sunday. This is the day set aside for us to remember the Advocate, the Holy Spirit of God, promised by Jesus, sent by the Father. And I have to honestly say, young, as a child, I was very confused because I had heard the pastor talk about the Paraclete. And I kept thinking, all right, which is it? Is he a dove or a parakeet? Clear this up for me. Yes, for the birds. Yes. But in our gospel lesson that you just heard, it's a fantastic, it's like a family portrait of the Godhead. You've got Jesus talking about his relationship with the Father. They are one. And then he's talking about the coming of the Spirit who's going to live in you. And if our reading had just gone three verses further, you would have heard that Jesus and the Father are also going to live in your heart. It's the Holy Trinity. But that's next Sunday. Trinity Sunday's next Sunday. Today is the day when we celebrate the birth of the church. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the apostles. You know, you heard that. I love that reading when the tongues of fire fall and split up and land on their heads. And these guys who have been hiding this whole time come out into the open and proclaim the gospel message to the thousands of people who are in the city. And the amazing thing, the miraculous thing, you know, you heard the, I always feel sorry for the lay reader. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia. You know, it just goes on and on and on and on. They all heard it in their own tongue. Amazing, this Holy Spirit. And that is as dramatic a story as you could ever want to hear, ever want to tell. But I'd like for us to back up a little bit and to the gospel lesson, which actually took place in the upper room before the crucifixion of Jesus, when Jesus is in the midst of his farewell discourse and he's talking about his leaving. And he promises the coming of the Holy Spirit. The gospel text begins with, you know, and Philip said, but it's in a context. There were things said before Philip spoke. Jesus said, and this is You know, if you've ever been to a funeral, you've heard this passage. I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be with me also. And then Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus responds with the verse that we can all quote, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And since they were talking about the Father, Philip asked a great question. Or not a question really, but a request. Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Some translations say, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And Jesus responds, possibly in an incredulous tone, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you all this time, you don't know me? Or you may be familiar with the comedian Bill Engvall. Anybody remember him? He's famous for his supposed dislike of stupid people. And his solution is that stupid people should be required to wear a sign that says stupid. And then he will tell stories of his encounters with stupid people, and he'll end the story by saying, here's your sign. One he tells where he had a flat tire, pulls into a service station, and the attendant comes out and looks at his car and says, got a flat tire? He said, no, I was just driving along, these other three just swole up, huge. And here's one for you all, since you're getting ready to move. He said, they were packing, they got the U-Haul truck in the driveway, and they're carrying the stuff out to the truck, and his neighbor comes over and says, moving? Said, no, just a couple times a year we like to put everything in a box just to see how much stuff we have. Here's your sign. Here's your sign. And so, looking at Philip today, I thought, I could see Jesus saying, don't you know me, Philip? After you've known, I've been with you all this time. Here's your sign. After all that you've heard and seen, and that's your request, really? To see the Father, and you'll be satisfied? Here's your sign. But in all fairness to Philip, because the deepest human desire, and I talked to my psychologist daughter about this yesterday, the deepest human desire, whether people admit it or not, is to see God. We want to see God. The Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church, in its introduction, has these words, and it does kind of let you know what kind of stuff I sit around and read. The desire for God is written in the human heart. Because man is created by God and for God, and God never ceases to draw man to himself. Only in God will he find the truth and the happiness that he never stops searching for. But that's been in the church. It's always been in the church. St. Augustine wrote, and this, you will have heard this quote. This is the most quoted piece from St. Augustine, or if you're British, Augustine. They can't pronounce anything right. Worked with them in the desert once, and they kept talking about lieutenants. I'm sorry, it's spelled lieutenant. Augustine. St. Augustine, in a prayer, said, you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Thomas Aquinas held that perfect happiness, is the fulfillment of all of our natural desires. And the highest natural desire is the desire to see God. And there is nothing that nature can do to satisfy that. It can only be satisfied supernaturally by God Himself. So Philip's really being honest when he says, show us the Father. Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Then he tells Philip, you have seen the Father. You have met the Father. You have heard the Father's words. You have seen His works. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. And so, if Jesus did turn to Philip and say, here's your sign, it didn't say stupid. It probably given him a sign that says, I've seen the Father. I know God. Ask me. We need never fear meeting a God who is any different than the God we have met in Jesus Christ. He is the revelation of the Father. And then Jesus goes a little further and says, when I will ask the Father and He will send another advocate, the Spirit of truth, the one whom the world cannot see. He will live with you. He will be in you. It's a living arrangement I mentioned before that comes up again in verse 23. The Father and the Son are going to be in there too. You people have a crowded heart. The whole Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make their home with you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said He would not leave us as orphans, and He does not. And so, you and I have been clothed with power from on high. Like the apostles on Pentecost, we have been filled with the Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Paraclete, our companion for life. The fire of the Holy Spirit is within each one of us. And I was looking through Scripture trying to find an image aside from doves and parakeets or tongues of fire. And I'd never looked at it this way. The story of Moses and the burning bush. Every time I'd read that story, I had never thought of myself as that bush. We are on fire, yet we're not being consumed. We are on fire, and that fire within us is calling people over. Moses said, "You know, I got to go aside and see this thing. That's what God wants. Go aside and see this strange thing called the church. Go over here. Look at that. If Christ is in you, you are on fire by the power of the Spirit, the things that you do, the things that you say, the way that you live. And it attracts people to come and see this strange thing. Why are we on fire? And why do people come? Because they all want to see God. Whether they admit it or not, it's there. It's almost like it's in our DNA. God created us to desire Him. Now, a lot of people will try to fill that up with other things. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Not a good trip. The only thing that fills that void, we never rest, as Augustine said, until we rest in You. The world wants to see. They want to know. We have met God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we can share that with them. have met Jesus through the power of the Spirit. We've read His Word. We've heard His Word. He lives and abides in us by the power of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that empowers us to do ministry in His name. You've seen it here. You've seen it other places. We minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we could actually end the sermon right here and go eat. Of course, you know, by me saying that, we're not going to. Get in the sermon here, and it could be a challenge and an admonition to us to minister to the world and bring those people in so that they can come in here and they, too, can see God. They can meet God. Because after all, you think about it, the world is parched and thirsty. We know where the water is. They're starving to death. We know where the food is. We know. We need only bring them here so that they can meet God and that they can become like burning bushes for the world. They too could share the gospel. They too can share what they've seen. And their message would be accompanied by the signs and power of the Spirit. We could end here. But there are two promises in the text that I'd like for us to look at, because they're frequently misused and hard to understand at times. But in verse 12, Jesus said, and a lot of times you will hear this not knowing that it comes out of this story. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these because I am going to the Father." The works that Jesus did. You always wondered, you know, have people done greater works? Sure they have. Entire stadiums have had the Holy Spirit sweep through and people be healed. Rooms full of people have had the Spirit move through and heal everyone in the room. From the earliest times, people would lay along the street and wait for Peter to pass by so his shadow would pass over them and they would be healed. But now I have to ask, did Peter's shadow heal anybody?
No.
No. Did I ever heal anybody? No. I got tickled. I was in a healing service a couple of years ago with this guy from Africa, Dennis Simpable. Remarkable man, great prophetic powers. God does a lot through him. In fact, he's responsible in part for my being here. As God chastised me and sent me back. So you can blame that on him tonight in your prayers. But he preached, and it came time for healing. And so there were probably six individuals that were up front for healing prayers, for people to come forward. And so people began to come forward. I probably prayed with two. And my friend John, maybe three or four. Dennis had a line almost to the back of the church. Did Dennis heal anybody? No. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit. It wouldn't have made any difference who they went to. None of us were healing. We were praying for healing for people. But it's the ministry of Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit through us. And it really didn't make any difference. And you'll see that in almost any healing service. I think I'd rather be healed by him. That's a short. It's never like in the grocery store. That's the shortest line. I'm going over there. the same Holy Spirit is healing over there that's healing over here and there. It is in the context of the ministry of Christ that this is true. And then a favorite verse, and that's a really a favorite verse of charismatics, is one of mine. As you know, the bishop would say, that's my favorite verse. This is the favorite verse of the people who are name it and claim it. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the... let me skip down to 13 and 14. Next two verses. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Wow. Out of context, that's quite the promise. Unrestricted answer to prayer. All I have to do is stick onto the end of my prayer, and I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good thing Jesus gave us that magical formula so that we could stick it on the end of our prayers. That's not what it means to pray in one's name. To pray in the name of Jesus is to ask the Father the same things that Jesus would ask. It's to pray as Jesus would pray. It's to pray in union with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when we pray in accordance with God's character and God's will, not asking for all of these wonderful things that some people think we should have. In 1 John 5:14, John wrote this: "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." And how do you know His will? It's in the relationship. It's in that relationship with all those people living in your heart. That's why they're there. That's why God's there. Right now the whole world is crying out, "Show us the Father. Show us God. We want to see God." But the power of the Spirit moving in you, you can bring them to meet Jesus. You can do it here. You can bring them here to meet Jesus Christ. You can bring them toward the place where they can encounter the power of God from on high. You can bring them to have their own Pentecost experience. Doesn't have to be here, but it could be. You have seen God. Here's your sign. I have seen God. I have experienced God. And I can lead you to where the water is. I can lead you to where the food is. I can take you to meet your heart's desire. Amen.